person. No, I'm just kidding.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the National All VR conference call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a Q&A session. If you would like to register for an audio question, you may press the 1 followed by the 4. You may also submit your questions using the chat feature, which is located in the lower left-hand corner of your screen. If you need operator assistance, you may press star 0. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded today, Tuesday, November 18th, 2014. It is now my pleasure to introduce Michelle Lajour, OSM. Awesome.
Thank you very much, and welcome, everyone, to our November All VR call. Before we get started, we heard from our operator, France, that several of you were having trouble dialing in or typing in to our chat line. The address is always the same. It's www.gatherplace.net/join P, then the equal sign, 7821333. It never changes. It's always the same from call to call. So we apologize for you not being able to get through, but the address is the same from call to call, which is a good thing. It doesn't change. Okay, I'm going to repeat that one more time. www.gatherplace.net/join J-O-I-N ? P, like in Paul, the equal sign, 7821333. All right, thank you. And at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Nate Arnold with Social Security Administration.
Thank you, Michelle. Good afternoon, everybody. And thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us. We missed out on last month's call, so I'm glad that we could squeeze one in this month. Fiscal year's gotten off to a pretty good start here. We did not have a furlough or any kind of government shutdown, so we're able to be much more productive than what we were last year this time. In terms of a cost reimbursement update, for the month of October, we got about 900 claims processed and paid out about $9 million, which is certainly pretty good, but it's not where I would like us to be. We still have more work pending here than what I would like, and they're not quite as timely as we would like. We're currently working July claims now. I hope that we get through them before Turkey Day is upon us, but we're gradually trying to eat into that time backlog that we've had for the last year or so at this point. One of the things that's sort of holding us back now has been a serious commitment to training for the new staff that we've hired over the last couple of months. We picked up 5 new employees, which I'm sure you can all relate to how in the long term that's going to pay huge dividends, and you're going to see more responsiveness in terms of inquiries and in terms of timeliness of getting claims processed. But right now, it's not only some lost productivity in terms of them not being up to the curve yet, but also taking time out of our more experienced staff to work with them and bring them along. But I'm happy to say one thing I've always prided myself on is I don't hire bad people, and I'm very pleased with the caliber and the qualifications of the 5 people we were able to bring on board. So I think you'll see that by the time we get into the beginning of calendar 2015, we'll really start to be able to move some work here. And all the indicators we point up. I think Candace Whaley, who many of you are certainly have talked to and are aware of, had one workload reminder item that she told me she wanted to mention. So, Candace, go right ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to remind you about the supplemental claims. Supplemental claims are only for direct cost or post-employment that was omitted from the original claim. Please do not submit supplemental claims for ACP and tracking. And remember, the direct cost must be within the net payment period of the original claim, and any month claimed after CP of SGA cannot be paid. For post-employment, it must be after the VR closure date, but within the gross payment period. Any months claimed after the CP of SGA also cannot be paid.
Thank you, Candace. One other reminder I would have. I happen to know, I wanted to thank all of you for all of the work that you've been sending our way. I've received a number of boxes from certain states. I'm not going to mention any names here. One state, I'm pretty sure, submitted a claim for pretty much every Social Security beneficiary in their whole state. But you would do me a huge favor, and you would certainly behoove the processing time of your claims if you would staple them all before you submit them, because if you don't staple them, one of two things is going to happen. Either I'm going to have to take time out of all my other leisure activities to staple them, or some of the material is going to get lost, and we really don't want either of those things to happen. So I encourage you to staple them before you send in a big batch like that. It'll help that we keep all of it together. And you can also be thinking in the back of your minds about that glorious day that lies ahead where it'll be an electronic claims process and there won't be anything to staple. So that is just down the road. The next update, I think, is on the ticket portal. Desiree, you're going to say a few words about that?
Yes. We're to the point where what we have to say is going to sound familiar to you each month. We're basically wanting everyone to prepare and to prepare for what's coming, meet the requirements for the future to be able to use the new ticket portal. The portal does exist, and we do have a phase one pilot that we want to expand to phase two. We're going to have a systems release in December 13th, and we want to bring in a few VR agencies following that. But we want to bring in VR agencies that operate as ENs because we don't yet have some of the most significant functionality in the system for VR agencies that do cost reimbursement. For those agencies, once we get the functionality together for submitting data files, we're going to solicit folks to help test that process. And also, of course, timely progress is something that would be of interest to those of you who support the beneficiaries in helping respond to that. But for now, there's just query functionality, and after December, there'll be an opportunity to request payment submissions and do some other things, add some case notes for beneficiaries. We want to be able to expand this pilot to VR agencies. We should also let you know that we're not going to be launching the portal in terms of converting folks from the old portal to the new as early in the calendar year as we had originally thought. So there'll be some additional time to meet the requirements. At this point, it looks like there'll probably be at least a two-month delay. We had been talking about January. And we'll give you a better sense of that as time goes on, and there'll be a schedule for moving folks from one portal to the other. But for now, just continue to prepare for the switch by getting your MySSA account and taking care of your suitability. And we have been in discussions with RSA, and we also shared information with CSAVR concerning the browser requirements, and we'll just keep you abreast of any changes that we make as we go along or anything that would affect your being ready when we convert. I'm going to turn it over to Natalie Sindeldorfer, who's going to give you an update on the suitability of VR.
Good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to let everyone know that things are going really well in the suitability process, and I really appreciate everyone's cooperation with this whole ordeal. And there are only a few VRs left that have not faxed in their EQIP applicant list. So if you can get that faxed over to suitability, I would really appreciate that. And I just have one reminder that after you fax your EQIP applicant list, the EQIP invite, which is the suitability questions, will be emailed to your signatory authority. So before you worry that you don't have it, please ask them to check their inbox and also their junk and spam folder, because sometimes that's where that winds up. And if you have any questions, please feel free to contact me via email or phone call. And that's all I have for today.
Thank you, Des, and thank you, Natalie. I'm sure that there may be some questions for you, though.
And I'll be here.
At this point, I'm going to turn it back to Michelle. I think, Michelle, you indicated you have a few additional updates to give.
Yes. Hi, Nate, and everyone on the call. As part of our update to CSAVR, we were very happy to share with the attendees that as far as the rollout with the ticket portal, the file format will be the same file format that is now being used for those of you submitting your monthly files through the MOVEit system. You will be able to not have to go through any programming changes for those files. You will just have to go to the ticket portal and upload them in the same identical format that you do now. You will be able to receive an analysis report that will show the tickets assigned as well as the tickets unassigned. And actually, another great piece of information to share with you is that the code system values that currently report out the status of your ticket assignments will be available in your analysis report. So all 13 status codes will be available for you in reporting out the outcome of the beneficiary that you or customer you are assigning to the ticket program. As Desiree said, we're now looking at a two-month delay. However, there will be some opportunity to do some testing, and we will share that with you for those of you that are interested in testing your files in January. We will provide that later on in December or early January on how that's going to take place. Otherwise, that concludes our update from Ms. Ann, unless there's any questions that we need to read from the chat line. Are there any questions from the chat line?
Yes, we have one from Katie, and I'm sure it's Katie Rose. It's regarding suitability, and her question is, what about the turnover within the VR or EN agency? Will suitability clearances be rushed in cases where staff have left and new staff have come without clearance?
Desiree, do you want us to repeat that for you?
We can't promise that things will be rushed, but we would advise that if you have more than one person who can get suitability clearance, so when there's a change in staff, you still have someone who can handle things, that would probably be the best approach to that. But sure, I mean, we will do what we can to move things along swiftly in those instances, but we realize that this isn't a one-time thing, that we will have an ongoing workload when it comes to turnover. But, yeah, if you can have more than one person prepared to use the portal, then when we're switching staff, at least you have a plan B.
Okay. We have another question?
Well, it's not a question. It's a comment. Eugenia from Oregon would like to volunteer for the pilot. She acts as a VR and a VREN. She has passed suitability, and she already has her SSA account. And she also says that she heard that they will be able to see monthly wages in the new portal, and she's trying to confirm if that is true.
I don't know if that's the Katie question.
I can't address the monthly wages piece, but Eugenia, thank you for volunteering, and it's good to hear you have all your ducks in a row. You know, we'll be reaching out to folks. As I mentioned, we can only put a few in, but you certainly sound like you meet the profile, being a VREN. We've had a couple of other volunteers. But even if we don't get some folks in after the December release, we'll be adding more folks probably in January. So, sounds good.
All right. That concludes our questions on the chat line right now. Operator, we can open it up to general questions from the phone line.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register for an audio question, please press the 1 followed by the 4. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw, please press the 1 and the 3. And our first question from the line of Allison Carmichael. You may begin.
Hi, Allison. Hello?
Ms. Carmichael, your line is open, ma'am. You may proceed with your question.
Oh, I'm sorry. My question was answered. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And our next question from the line of Gina Haupt. Please go ahead.
Hi. I just have two things. I want to confirm. One, I heard Michelle say that the file formats won't change at all, and is that true when they're also coming back from FFA? They'll be the same as they are and move it?
That's correct. Hi, Gina. Yes, this is Michelle. Yes, the good news is you will receive, you can submit and you will receive the information in the same format that you do now. So you
okay.
can actually transport it into an Excel and do your querying that you do now. So there will be no change. So we're really happy to be able to share that with all the VR agencies today.
Excellent. And then the other question that I had is, so we sent in three of our, we sent in all of our stuff for clearance, and we got one of our people approved for clearance immediately, like within 3 weeks, and now we haven't heard back on myself, who is the main person, and one other person. Do you know the timeline on hearing back on, like, the other people? So I was shocked to hear back, like, one person, like, right away, and now it's been, like, 3 weeks, and we haven't heard back on the other two people. So I was just curious when we might expect to hear back on myself and the other person that went back in.
Yeah, they're pretty random. I had an instance today where two people from an office were given suitability, like, a month ago, and then today a third person from the same office was given suitability today. And there were no issues with the employee. I really don't have an explanation for that. But if it's been a long time, you can feel free to give me an email, and I'll ask suitability to look into that specific person if you'd like.
Okay. Is this Natalie?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Natalie.
No problem.
That was all my questions.
Our next question from the line of Tom Skirich. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Tom.
A question and then a comment. My first question, Nate, you mentioned the electronic claims processing system, which is under development. I'm wondering if you could comment on the compatibility with claims processing programs and systems like the tracker many we use and many other state VR agencies use.
I really can't, Tom, at this point. We're still they're really just doing the what you would truly call the prep work at this point. It hasn't even been definitely blessed to happen next year, but we're very hopeful that it's going to. Obviously, that is the compatibility issue is something that we hope to be able to address, but it's not something that we can guarantee.
Okay. Thank you. And just this other comment, actually compliment, for Natalie Sendeldorfer. She was extremely helpful in helping myself and Eric Schmidt get through the application process for the suitability clearance. My deep appreciation to Natalie for all that you did to help us.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. That's all.
Take care, Tom.
Our next question from the line of Megan Hellam. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my question. I know that there have been some rumors going around. I'm hoping that maybe you guys can address them, that with the new portal coming online that the IVR may be going away. And so I was just curious if there would be some sort of an equivalent to replace that, because I know in California, for instance, we've got 700 or 800 counselors that are using that currently, probably every day, to check ticket statuses. So we're just kind of trying to get some information about that.
Actually, that's not a rumor. We've mentioned that in the past. on the calls, and I guess it's probably been a while since we said it, but yes, the IVR was one of the first things we did when we left the stage of having you actually call a live person. So the portal is going to be the way to check assignability, you know, for your folks. I mean, the only alternative is when you submit your data files and you get the response file back, at that point you would see whether the person's ticket was available or not. But yes, the portal will be the only avenue for that.
Okay. And then do you have any estimated time frames for when the IVR will be phased out completely?
Probably not until June.
June, okay. That'll at least give us some time to make some adjustments to how we are doing things, I guess.
The last thing that happens, I mean, you'll all be in the portal. Whoever has met the requirements will be in the portal. All the functionality that we plan should be in place at that point.
Okay.
You know, at this point.
And has there been any discussion of at some point bringing something like that on, some sort of capability where you don't necessarily have to go through a security clearance to check a ticket status for that portion of it? Has there been any discussion of adding that at some point to the new portal?
We can talk about it. I mean, that would be additional resources that would happen after the portal exists if we felt that was something that we needed to bring back for folks. But if you're
okay.
uploading your data files to the portal and getting back a response, you know, on which people you can have the ticket assignment for, that seems like that just cuts out the need to check in advance.
Okay. Okay, thank you for your time.
Our next question is from the line of Eugenia Cox. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey, did I miss the part about you answered the question about the monthly wages? Either I was sleeping or...
No, I said that I couldn't address the monthly wages. What was the question about the monthly wages?
They would have it available at some point, monthly wages.
You mean the Cuber?
It didn't say. It just said monthly wages would be available versus quarterly wages.
Well, if there's monthly wages, then it's going to be based on the same information we currently have available to us. So it would be three times, you know, trial work or three times SGA derived from the NDNH data. Or we're not going to be able to use the mess, you know, the other data that we have here. So we wouldn't. We would be using the same data that we use now. So
only we would be able to see it?
The only thing that I know at this point, because we're still in discussions disclosure and privacy folks, is that we expect to be able to continue to use the NDNH data. Anything beyond that haven't been confirmed.
Okay. And the letters that we got from Social Security for the extra security, you know, that has our PIN and all that stuff on it, that's supposed to go to Natalie, right?
For now, yes.
Okay, and what address do we send it to? Is she at the same address that where we send our claims?
If you send it to the VR team, we'll get it to her, Eugenia.
Actually,
okay.
This probably could be both handled like through a phone call or something.
What?
With submitting your PIN, we don't want to email it.
No, no, no. We get a letter in the mail once you ask for the extra security, and it's a letter from Social Security, and it has your how to add it, and it gives you a upgrade code. And you guys said that you wanted that letter.
Actually, I think the process is, and we can verify this for you, but I think the process is you when you get that letter, you follow the instruction, you go back into the system.
Yeah, and I did that.
You added the extra security, and you were able to access your own MySSA account?
Yeah, and we added the upgrade code. But then we were told the last time that this letter that Social Security sends us that has the upgrade code on it needs to come to you.
No, it's actually your user's, your Roam user ID. That username that you put in there is what you're going to need to submit to Natalie.
Your user ID.
Yes. And we can clarify this for the meeting notes because the folks who are actually doing this for ENs already, for the ones who are in the pilot, aren't here. But I believe that is the process that they're using. So I'm pretty sure that's the process that they're using.
And that has to do with MySSA, right?
Yes. When you log on, there's some username and password that you have to put in, right? So when you there is a username and password that you have to put in when you go to your MySSA account. When you are using the EN portal link, you're going to get that same screen that you get if you're going to the MySSA account, but you'll put in the username and password, and it'll take you to the portal because it identifies that you came in on a different address. The username that you enter in to get to your MySSA account will be the same username that will get you to the portal.
Okay.
It just depends on whether you came in on the portal link for that session.
Okay, then, yeah, because every single time I've been asking about who do we mail this letter to, and they've said send it to Natalie, so but that's not going to come on a letter.
No, that's not the letter. We didn't know early on. We did think that we were going to be using the information in that letter based on the instructions we had read. But we learned from the people who are actually doing this process for the ENs who are in the portal pilot that it's the other number that they needed.
So you don't need this letter then?
No, you don't. You don't need that letter. We don't need that letter.
Okay.
Yeah. You need that letter to go and do what you've already done.
Yeah, we did that, but we were sitting there waiting to see, well, who do we mail this letter to now that we've used it.
No, it's probably best, and there's a training module that we have that Maximus is probably going to be making available on the website or something where this will have all this in there for you all. But we even have to update the training module because originally we thought it was the same way that you just described, but we learned later that it's different. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so I don't have to worry about mailing this then.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
And then two other things, and I'm done.
Eugenia, before we go on, I'd like to mention anybody who has already registered for the MySSA account and you have a username that you could also contact Natalie with that information.
Okay, just call her with it.
You want to give some contact information? Yeah, to call her with that. We don't want to send it through email. Yeah.
Okay.
My phone number is 410-966-5696.
5696.
And that will be in the meeting notes as well.
Okay, and the other question, the two things. You know, you used to have a help desk phone number that you could call, and now it's just over email. Well, when I send a secure document, a password-protected document over, nobody can ever open it. So I end up just calling whatever number I could find and asking somebody to confirm a Social Security number or to ask about a claim. And so because I can't send it to you securely, but because for some reason you can't open our Word documents, is there going any talk about us having some sort of a hotline to call to be able to talk to somebody?
I'm not sure what the limitation is that you just described. Are they using your PIN? The PIN that
They know the password. And I even because we have the most advanced version of Word, so we even push it down to like 97, you know, just so you, in case you guys don't have the latest version. And it's always that you guys can't open it.
We might need to look into why we can't open it.
We can certainly see if we can figure out. I think that obviously the problem must be at our end, Eugenia.
Okay. Okay. And then to respond to Megan's question about the calling, what she called the IVR. We don't use it, so is it the IVR?
Right.
You said that you can have two people at each location that can meet suitability. So if she had a person at each office, you said each location, and they had like, if they had 70 locations, technically they could have 140 people do suitability, right? And be cleared to use the
port. We did say that, but we would certainly, if you can centralize, we would. We would love that. But those are soft rules for guidance. We want to know what the legitimate need is.
Well, I mean, if they're having to use it in each office, and, you know, we have offices that are across the state, and if you had two people in the whole agency and you have, you know, 500 people in your agency or 700 people in your agency, that's a little bit difficult. And it sounds like, Megan, each office uses that to look at ticket availability. So, you know, even if they had just one person in each branch or one person that could have access to it.
The bottom line is we want to meet your needs. So we gave that as soft guidance because we had to make an estimate for OMB about the potential usage, and we had to figure out what – there's an expense related to the identity verification that involves Experian. And so we were just trying to, for this first time out the gate, give them some ballpark information.
Okay.
But we want to know what the legitimate need is, and we want you all to request as many users as you really need, and then we'll just have to adjust the data that we set forward.
So it is a possibility, you know, even if it's like a regional contact or whatever for California.
Yes. I mean, we want to accommodate your business process. Of course, if things can be centralized to some degree, that's lovely, but whatever you all choose to do, we're going to have to accommodate.
Okay. Thank you.
And Desiree, this is Michelle. Just as a follow-up, we are ready to release the PowerPoint, which will provide the step-by-step process for the exit security. However, we just want to double-check that it's in compliance now with the latest changes you just spoke of. So we'll look that over, and hopefully we'll be able to have that out on the website by Friday.
Okay.
We do have a couple of questions from the chat line, Anna.
Dottie Wilmot, she's saying that she's from Nebraska. We still haven't received the invite link for suitability. She has sent several emails advising about it. And also received a letter regarding the added security but cannot log in, and called Social Security and still no luck getting on my Social Security, my account. Is Natalie still around?
Let me address the My Social Security account piece first.
Okay.
If you could just give your information, your contact information, like phone number and name, to Maximus. Maximus, send that to us, and then we'll get in touch. We'll have someone get in touch about that piece, helping her get on to the MySSA. It sounds like you have your letter. You just need to go back into the system and register for the extra security. So keep that letter, and we will get your contact information and have one of the experienced people who've been working with ENs contact you to help you get into that.
What information do you need from her, Desiree, her name and what else?
Just contact information, email, phone number, or something like that.
Okay, we have that, so we will send it to you. Also, Kathy Trotter, she's just filling a position temporarily because somebody left at her agency, and she said that she missed the deadline for suitability application. So I think we need to reach out to her directly because I don't understand if she sent the applicant list or if she missed the deadline for the equip link. So Kathy, if you can just please tell us which state you are representing, and then we can send that information to Natalie directly so she can check the status of your request. And next question is for Nate, I think. It says Iowa General has not received the October notice of determinations yet, and they usually receive them by now.
Yes, they do usually receive them by now, and I believe they all went out. So I will check on that. That's Iowa?
Iowa General.
Okay. We'll get a duplicate report out to them.
Okay. Operator, do we have any dial-in questions?
We do. Our next question is from the line of David Leon. Please go ahead.
Hello, folks. First thing I want to say, just in support of California's, I believe it was California that is using it in all of their offices, the IVR, one of the things to remember that is not necessarily a flaw, but a real impact for VR and the MOVEit files, which will not go away, is that the day that client is signing that plan may still be a week or two before the file is created to be sent. And when that plan is signed, both the client and counselor are agreeing to a set of services that may or may not be impacted if the ticket information is different. And I can only imagine the headache we would have with a client we were agreeing to pay for college, only to find out a month later that their ticket was with another employment network, because that would change our decision. So that's just an aside. And I wish, if you could tell me your secret that you are using to get all of your counselors to find out the ticket status, please share, because it would make my job easier. But my two questions, I believe, are both going to be for Nate, and one involves the WIOA changes, and will we have access to WRIS wage data, and will we be able to use that for claims? And can you explain how that is different from the wage data we currently have in the CUBER? That's my first question.
We are not allowed to disclose IRS data, so I don't know where this information is coming from, but you will not have access to IRS data that's reported.
Not IRS, WRIS.
Okay. David, you mentioned that that's in response to the new Department of Labor stuff that came out. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, and honestly, that's not something that we've had a chance to address the full impact of, so it's something we'll have to get back to you on.
Okay. The reason I'm asking is I've been told that we are, but even with all of the agreements we have around wage data and the generous access to the wage data through the CUBER, that we are still potentially missing between 8% and 15% of our clients' wage data who may be in other states. And so that information is very important to us going forward, and we're interested.
But
and
David,
my other...
The CUBER should have data from all states. I mean, that's, again, when Des talks about the NDNH, you know, that is nationwide. You should not be missing out on people because they've moved to another state. The only thing it doesn't pick up is self-employment, as far as I can tell.
Okay. Then that's good to know. I need to make sure folks in my agency understand that, because there's some folks who have been saying otherwise, but that's great. My other question involves a 301 claim, and we just don't get enough of these. So we happen to receive one of those lovely letters saying that we were going to be eligible for filing a 301 claim. And the way the letter comes, the second page is the beneficiary's information, and the letter says if there is a date on that page, you have X amount of time prior, you know, within which to file the claim. If there is no date on that letter, wait until services are done and the case is closed. And I just want to clarify, because the case I received this 301 about is a college case, and I went ahead and called because it had been 9 months, and I thought, well, let me just double check. And I was basically told I could send it in if I wanted, but I want to wait until we are done paying for college in 2 years, and I just want to make sure that that's still accurate, because the person on the phone was very pleasant, but I don't think they really understood, and I want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing.
Now, I don't have a copy of the form in front of me, obviously, but I think the date you're talking about, if it's on there, that would be the date that the person's benefits have probably ceased, and that does start the clock ticking. So if, you know, if there's a date on there, you've got, I guess it's the same as with any other cost reimbursement claim, you've basically got a year to get it filed. If there's no date, what they're kind of saying is, you know, we're waiting to see either when the benefits cease or when you close the case, whichever comes first is what kind of sets the period for a 301 case.
So, Nate, with that information, is it safe for me to assume I would get a new letter with the date that would start the clock, or do I have to periodically check on the benefit status?
You should get a new letter. David, you should get a new letter, but I'll tell you, I would check it at least quarterly if it were me.
Okay. No, that's perfect. Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Carla Bell. Before I go ahead and open her line, as a reminder, if you would like to register for a question, you may press the 1 followed by the 4. Please go ahead, Ms. Bell.
Thank you so much. My name is Carla Bell. I'm also with California Department of Rehabilitation, and I just wanted to piggyback our concerns about the loss of the IVR system. As Megan has said, we have easily 700 to 800 counselors, and part of the ongoing training we provide our counselors, also we have an at-a-glance ticket-to-work process fact sheet that we provide them, and one of their main responsibilities and steps as part of the IPE development process is to use that IVR system to check the consumer's ticket status. And our concern is in losing this system, we are losing a very key tool. Our section, our Social Security program section, we're a very small section, and honestly, we do not have the staff capacity to have to check every single consumer's ticket. And our big concern is having to chase down hundreds of consumers that have their ticket assigned to other places to chase them down for ticket unassignments. So we're trying to figure out a workaround for this. We heard that about the suitability clearance. I mean, one of the strategies we're trying to come up with, potentially we have over 100 different branch offices. So could we potentially have at least 2 people from each of those offices go through suitability clearance to use the portal system as a way to check ticket status of our consumers? And then also another option would, I know the Ticket to Work hotline that the BAS provides for consumers who have questions, would that also be a tool that our counselors could use to, with a consumer, call in and check on ticket status as a workaround for this process? So any suggestions you have, let us know if you could accommodate at least 200 people or more for suitability clearances. And I also want to thank our other VRs that have also supported us as well in the questions. Thank you.
Yes, we would accommodate the number of people that you need. I mean, California is a large state, and so you need to have your counselors be able to use the portal, then we would definitely accommodate the request for that. The IVR, it's not going to be available once the portal is there. If it works that you can use the information in the portal in terms of the data response file that you get, I'm not sure. It sounds like you have a pressing need to know on the front end whether the ticket is available.
Yes.
At the time when the IP is being done, as opposed to doing the IP.
Yes, because Yes, on the front end because of the required signing of the IPE to make sure that ticket is available to be put in use with us and to see if we need to go through any kind of unassignment if the ticket is with another EN or VR agency.
Okay, but if it's possible to use the response file for this need because you will have that information available to you after you submit it, I would appreciate if you can consider how that file might be useful to you.
The big concern about that is that could be a month or two in arrears. So,
actually, I don't know that that's the case when we're in the new portal. I would have to check on what the response time is, but we're talking about a lot of things happening in a short time frame and some things happening in real time. So, I don't think the processing is going to be as it was in the past.
As we're also concerned about the 90-day look back, and then also, you know, there's a processing involved. If you have a client whose ticket is assigned somewhere else, you need to get their signature to process the unassignment. All of this takes time. So we could be looking at several months out before things get taken care of, and it's not as timely as it would be with the situation we have now.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I sympathize with that situation, but the best we can do right now is to get the number of people you need into the portal.
We'll follow up with a discussion about this, okay?
Okay, yeah, we can definitely follow up one-on-one and talk more about this. We really appreciate that.
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And we have a follow-up question from the line of David Leon. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I just want to add maybe another way to look at this issue because it is a big concern in many of our states. You would never expect an employment network to be on the hook to provide cost-based services to a client that has not assigned their ticket to that EN. And I understand you saying that the processing time will be shorter. However, again, because we create a plan with that client, we are basically saying to the client they are entitled to a set of services that may or may not have direct costs without confirmation that the ticket is able to be put in use. My system, basically I would have to, at the end of every day, send every ticket, every case that's a new plan, and then process the return file. And I think what California is doing is saving so much time across the board that you would understand you would never ask an employment network to do that, and I don't think it's fair to
You can check ticket assignability in the portal as well. You don't have to wait for the data file. I thought that was just an efficient way of doing it because you have the whole file of people, but you can certainly check an individual. If you have someone cleared for suitability, you can the counselor can check while the person is on the phone or at their desk or whatever to see if the ticket is available. So that's
right, but that's if they're cleared for suitability, because
right.
I actually want to try to go back internally and get a couple people per office for this same reason.
Right. Yeah, we would advise you
Megan is not going to know what potential clients may have meetings with counselors to sign IPEs across the state of California on a day-to-day basis. That's unrealistic.
Yeah, the only thing I can say is get the people that you need cleared. If it doesn't work to have one person doing this and you had one person in the past, you know, get the additional people cleared for suitability. I mean, if anybody has a better suggestion, then, I mean, we're willing to listen to it. But right now, we don't have the resources to do anything about the IVR. It's not in the short-term plan, or it's not in any plan at this point. Once we're operating in the portal, if we find that there's a need for something that doesn't exist, we could always revisit. But we need to find out a way to work in the environment we're going to be faced with in the short term.
Desiree, I know that we're to the hour. I want to just check to see if we have one additional question. Operator, do we have any other questions?
We have no other questions at this time.
Oh, okay. Desiree or Nate, would you like to summarize or just closing remarks?
No, I think it was a very worthwhile call, and I'm glad that everybody took the time and they've asked the questions, and we will certainly try to resolve a bunch of them when we get the meeting notes out to get some more information out on you. So thanks again. We'll look forward to following up on a bunch of this on next month's call.
We will, and we have some follow-up items to get to your office as well on individuals
that
need follow-up. So we will make sure you get that information.
All right. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank
so
you,
long,
everyone,
everybody.
And thank you for dialing in today. That concludes our call.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you all for your participation. Have a great day.